War Room Impeachment with Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment. It's Thursday, the 19th of December, year of our Lord, 2019. We're live from Capitol Hill. Absolutely stunning day. Very cold, but a stunning clear day. Episode 80 of the War Room Impeachment. We will be here every day, 7 days a week, including through the Christmas holidays, until the day after the acquittal of Donald J. Trump in the United States Senate. We're going to talk a little bit in a second about when that's going to be. We thought it was going to be a lot sooner than it probably is going to be, but that makes this more interesting. We're on the John Fredericks Radio Network. We're on the Salem Radio Network nationwide. We are on America's Voice. News in the United States and throughout the world, and also Newsmax TV, Chris Ruddy's fantastic operation, now crossing 70 million homes as the fastest growing cable news operation in the country. It is Raheem Kassam, UKIP fame, Brexit fame, from our mother country, the United Kingdom, and Jason Miller, the senior communication strategist in Trump 2016 at Long time grassroots conservative political operative and was the communications director during the transition. Okay, historic day yesterday, tragic day yesterday, I think, for both the institutions and the individuals. Jason, where are we?
So I think what you saw yesterday, Steve, was really the vote versus the voters. And what I mean by that is the vote, the mob rule vote that we saw in the House of Representatives, where Democrats continued their...
How do you say mob rule? They wrapped themselves in the very low key, right? Trump. When did the New York Times have that thing printed? Was the day after he won?
This was ready. The only thing the New York Times had to debate about yesterday was how big the headline was going to be.
That's what we discussed.
And John Berman on CNN this morning said it was 10,000 point font with regard to the Washington Post headline.
Yeah, I'm saying
That's just about 10,000 point font.
That's called payback for saying Jeff Bezos, Amazon, Washington. This is the payback for the defense contract, right? Lose the cloud, but win the font, right? The font war.
But what I meant by the vote versus the voters is you had the House Democrats pushing through this unfair process, but you saw President Trump rallying with the voters. The fact that the voters of America, 63 million, voted in President Trump, and Democrats are trying to undermine that, trying to nullify that, as President Trump has said over and over. And there couldn't have been a more dynamic split screen setting than we saw then.
This is why they hate him personally, the leadership of the Democratic Party and clearly the opposition party media, but they hate him personally. Okay, it's obvious he triggers them. But they also hate him for a reason, and that reason was last night. He doesn't speak in a political vernacular. He can connect with working class. They understand he's an existential threat. What he represents is an existential threat to the established order, and particularly an existential threat to the globalist mainstream media, the overlords of the Democratic Party, the media, and what they represent, and the radical faction of the Democratic Party. You see that in that rally last night, that connection he has with working class people in states like Michigan. There's probably a third to 40-50% of that audience used to be, or very well could have been, Democratic voters. They vote for Donald Trump. And this is what Paul Ryan and the Heritage Organization, as great as these institutions are and individuals, they can't rally that. That's why the impeachment was not about Ukraine, right? That's just a pretext. It was about that rally last night. They have to stop that. They have to stop him. They have to destroy him. And they have to, in destroying him, they think they take down his movement. Is that too overwrought, Raheem Kassam?
No, I think that's right. I mean, look, as the president always says, they're not after even him necessarily. They're after who he's representing.
Well, he said that last night. It's not me, it's we.
It is, and it's the American people that the Democrats take so much joy. Rashida Tlaib, you know, selfieing herself down the corridor going into the House floor. She takes so much joy in announcing the impeachment of. It's America that they're impeaching here. This is, you know, the headlines.
Is that why they wrap themselves in the Constitution and the framers and the founders and the Pledge of Allegiance? They had every icon they could put up yesterday in doing this.
Well, I remember a conservative party in the UK. They once did this, tried to do this like populist tax cut thing, right? And what they did was they put out a Twitter image, and it says, and it was a bingo sheet, right? And it says, we're cutting tax on bingo. And it's like written with bingo balls. And it was the most cringy thing you could possibly imagine. This is what they think when Spanberger goes up there yesterday, and she's literally wearing a Constitution silk scarf.
Wrapped in the Constitution.
Wrapped in the Constitution.
It was like Joan of Arc or Marianne in the French Revolution, right?
She's thinking to herself, oh, what are they like? What are they not going to attack me over doing? Oh, I know. I'll wear the Constitution. It's that kind of patronizing vision of the America out there.
How does she held all of the Dirty 30, right? Van Drew was number 31, let's say, but she held the Dirty 30.
And then Golden split his vote.
Right.
And so he went, 4-1 against the other one. But, you know, to Raheem's point about the media last night, we saw literally the celebrating, a number of Washington Post reporters put out a tweet.
Was this bad form?
Oh, man, this is so bad. Rachel Bade, Karen Demergen, Paul Kane and Sungmin Kim from the Washington Post, they're all sitting around a table, look like they're having dinner, and they're like, Mary, impeachment. And they've now deleted the tweet.
They should never have deleted it.
So horribly. But yeah. I want to go back to a point that, Steve, that you were making a moment ago.
That's a core part of the Washington Post team, right?
But that's the culture. Now, I will say,
this tweet has died in darkness.
Yeah.
You got to get that up on the site. Such a heckle.
I will say that the big dogs over there, the actual big dogs, Dossie, Pulitzer Prize winning, Costa. Parker.
Yeah. Not happy.
Well, they weren't part of that.
Right.
So let's just be, in fact, poor Dossie was on pool duty and didn't bring a jacket to Michigan yesterday. So he's, but he did have his scarf. But the one thing that
Brad, he thinks everywhere is South Carolina.
Brad Parscale, campaign manager for President Trump, tweeted out last night, incredible rally in Battle Creek, 2,200 voters identified, 92.2% from Michigan.
That's a great tweet.
That's great. 15% haven't voted in the last four elections.
Yeah.
15% have voted in only one of the last four elections. And to your point, Steve, about former Democrats, 17% of the rally attendees last night are current Democrats.
That tweet of Brad Parscale is the reason they have to impeach President Trump. They've got to stop that, right? He talks, and last night was perfect. If you heard all the political cant and all the political verbiage throughout the day, he speaks in a non-political vernacular. He connects directly to folks.
Well, in a couple of the lines from last night, first of all, I got to say, I loved his entrance, his timing. It reminded me, just going back to the GOP convention.
That was totally random, right?
I was standing with President Trump backstage, and Senator Cruz started talking, and then it was toward the end of it, but President Trump was like, let's go. And he starts walking down the stairs. Right when Adam Schiff was just getting going, President Trump walks in, and it just completely deflated. No one remembered anything that Adam Schiff said last night because His big moment. But President Trump did a couple important things. In addition to calling out the globalist, which he did say last night, Steve, which I thought you'd be happy about.
I love that.
He also talked about how this act of impeachment will be political suicide for the Democrats.
A suicide march. I like that. That was a good line.
Political suicide, and then an eternal mark of shame.
Yeah. That was a great line. How do you think, let's talk about the mainstream media overnight. What was your sense of how they bracketed this and set this up for going forward?
Well, so this is where it gets interesting. So this morning, literally every single newscast on the planet is holding up the front pages of the papers and showing just the historical nature of this, how momentous of a time this is. But we're already starting to see some cracks here. I mean, even Chuck Todd called out Nancy Pelosi this morning about her delaying sending over these articles of impeachment. And so I think Pelosi really runs a risk here. We're going to hear more from McConnell at 9:30 and then Pelosi at 10:30. But this delay, I think, will backfire on the Democrats.
We're going to go into this delay as we come back from commercial break. But let's do some housekeeping here. You're listening to War Room Impeachment, Episode 80. Remember, we started this show, 6 or 8 weeks ago. We're going to continue every day until the day after the acquittal of President Donald J. Trump, the 45th President of the United States. And as we told you in the very first broadcast, that he was going to be impeached, sometime before Christmas on a couple articles of impeachment, and that happened yesterday. Raheem, what about the site? How can people get more information? Because now people are really coming into the story big time, even more than before.
www.warroom.org is the URL, and at warroom.org you can find all the germane news as it relates to the impeachment process. You can find where you can sign up to the podcast, to the newsletter. We've been going on this now for, what, 2 months? 2 months plus here. And I don't hesitate to say that this is one of your best resources. If you are trying to figure out the signal from the noise, this is the place to go. And make sure that if you like the podcast, you can keep your podcast by subscribing and leaving us a review.
It's free. Remember, just download. It's the fastest growing podcast. We're over 600,000 downloads, I think, already.
Oh, yeah. And probably more like 700,000 by the end of the day.
End of the day. It's fantastic. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We'll return with Raheem, Jason, myself on episode 80 in a second.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room, Impeachment.
On the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Episode 80, War Room Impeachment. Thursday, the 19th of December, year of our Lord, 2019, and it is 21 years ago to the day that the House impeached William Jefferson Clinton. So, like I said, we had pitched this as a movie. They'd have thrown us out of the room, right, how close this is. Okay, John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, America's Voice.News, and Newsmax TV. Welcome back, Raheem and Jason. Jason, let's pick up. So 9:30, let's go through the order of battle today. 9:30, Mitch McConnell, which Mitch McConnell thought he was going to talk about getting his thing and moving on, right? Nancy Pelosi, the master political strategist, chop-blocked him last night. You're not buying that, are you?
No, because I think this is where...
I just do that to trigger, you know that.
Because
I see every time I do it, it's just you wince.
So Nancy Pelosi, for anyone who hasn't picked up on this, has refused so far to send over the actual articles of impeachment.
And that's never happened before.
Right.
Now but Andrew Johnson, there was a Republican House and Senate. And then Clinton, there was a Republican House and Senate. So this is quite unusual. We have split. This first time has been split.
Yes. And the other dynamic, too, is that keep in mind the House has to vote to send over these impeachment managers, which the Pelosi and her team has to do. Now, it can be a voice vote or it can be a unanimous consent. But so she's going to put forward, say, here's Schiff, here's Hakeem Jeffries. Maybe they throw, you know, if they get one of these dirty 30 freshman members to walk the plank, and maybe they throw one of them on just to show how bold they are. But
how united.
But Pelosi is holding this up, saying that she wants to have this fair trial in the Senate, which, I'm sorry, was there anything fair about what's happened in the House? But here's where I think she's overreaching. This is, I think, is a misstep. Why did they have to go and rush this through, but then now they delay it all? And I think this is a question that even the media can't find a way to beat him up on. Because
he's a clear and present danger. Oh, except when he's got to go to trial, then we can delay and take our time.
Or clear and present danger to the United States, except when we work together to pass USMCA.
Is this killing your argument that the day they're going to work on USMCA?
I think President Trump should spike the football on this and make it the biggest deal that here we are working together. And keep in mind also that they're voting out this, they'll be voting out this full budget, the NDAA, which will create parental leave and establish the Space Force. These are all the things that we're working on with the Democrats while they're saying he's a clear and present danger. So it really undercuts their argument.
So what's going to happen with Mitch McConnell at 9:30? Which we anticipate?
I think Mitch McConnell is going to come out and say, we're ready to take this on. Send it over to us. Quit playing political games. This shows that the entire process that's been a rigged system that's been completely unfair to President Trump since the beginning. And I think McConnell will definitely take the high road in this and say that he's serious. They're the ones who are playing games. Let's get this done. Let's do it in a bipartisan fashion. That's the tone you'll hear from McConnell.
Well, some of the lines that McConnell is expected to take this morning have already been briefed out. He will say Nancy Pelosi may be too afraid to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate. Also saying fundamentally unlike any articles that any prior House of Representatives has ever passed, the framers built the Senate to provide stability, McConnell is expected to say, to keep partisan passions from boiling over. Moments like this are why the United States Senate exists.
That's from the Federalist Papers, right? That's directly about the simmering. They simmer in the thing as boiling over in the House. Let's go. The paradigm they're going to use, and I think they've already, Bill McGinley, several weeks ago, when he talked about the Senate trial, teed it up that back in those days, there was much more comedy or much more ability to work together among the old dogs in the Senate to come up with an agreement with the structure, because they had to figure, Nixon had quit beforehand. Andrew Johnson was lost in the mist of time, that they had to come up with this structure. That structure at least was implied of what he and he and Schumer might come up with before Nancy Pelosi inserted herself. She's trying to use all the leverage she's got to have it Nancy's way, right? Walk us through, if you can, a little bit of the Clinton. What happened in Clinton? How long did it take? And what was really the paradigm that they're at least looking at?
So in the Clinton model, which again was 21 years ago, so freakishly close to where we are right now, they had 3 days of opening from the House impeachment managers. The following week, then they had the 3 days of defense. Then they came back and made the decision to go and video depo several witnesses, including Monica Lewinsky, Vernon Jordan, and then they moved ahead to the vote. So the whole thing took about just over a month. I believe it was January 7th when they kicked off, and then February 12th when they wrapped it up.
So it took 6 weeks? 5 weeks?
Between 4 and 5 weeks.
And no witnesses, I remember, no witnesses live, witnesses on videotape.
Videotape depositions.
Now, President Clinton, I'm trying to remember, his videotape was during the it wasn't for this, it was during his actual deposition. That got leaked later, or did it get played at the trial?
Well, that was the grand jury.
The
grand jury, and so that's when he famously lied under oath there. And that was where, you know, when we talk about—
I forget, did they play that at his trial? I'm trying to remember. Where did I get the boardroom guys to look that up? I just remember that's the famous taped deposition at the grand jury. Didn't have to go to the grand jury, but he taped it.
Right, and then, of course, the final articles for Clinton, they both failed to reach the two-thirds threshold, one getting 45-450 against, and the other one being a 50-50.
Yeah. But that took 5 or 6 weeks. And that was about as close to a pretty straightforward slam dunk of where they, although he had a Republican Senate, it didn't seem at the time the momentum, remember his popularity was at 62%. People, he was impeached, but people kind of wanted to move on, right?
Right. And I think
it was very intense, much more intense in the lead up to the impeachment, when people remembered, than what we had here. You know, it was a long time coming, the real partisanship had come up. But once it got out of the House, it seemed to deflate a little bit.
Yeah, and I think, quite frankly, here with President Trump, you've seen the polling numbers move quite a bit, not just in these swing states, but even in the national polls, we've seen Quinnipiac, you've seen CNN polls both go from a plurality supporting impeachment to a plurality opposing. You've seen with Real Clear Politics, their overall rolling average now has impeachment underwater. And President Trump's own poll numbers on the head-to-heads with Democrats, even nationally, which usually a lot of times on our side, we're like, hey, look at the swing states. He's leading swing states and nationally.
If you look at what the rally was last night, and you look at just his temperament, do you see him agreeing to not having something, even starting a process where you're not going to have witnesses? You're not, because your team has to start lining that up now. We're December 19th, Christmas holidays coming. People have plans. It's the end of the year. It's the end of the decade. Right. Does he even really have the legal team pulled together? We've heard a bunch of we don't even know who the managers are from the Republican side yet. You know, Matt Gaetz, who we think is terrific. We haven't even seen him in any of the leaks that are coming out. Right.
Right. And we saw yesterday a report that there was speculation. I believe it was Politico that wrote the article that there could be House members added to the president's legal team, which we would love. Particularly. We need Gaetz. Need right. Meadows, need Zeldin. Don't know what's going to happen. Now, Congressman Mark Meadows, who's been an absolute leader from North Carolina, has announced he will not be running for re-election, might actually leave Congress early. We would love to see him added to the president's team heading into this. Don't know if it's going to happen, but would love to see it. But I think there's a good chance we're at least going to get one of the hardcore guys, like whether it be a Jordan or, you know, Collins' floor speech last night was fantastic. I do hope that they're going to add some of the superstars.
Raheem, let's do some how can people, because now it's really going to intensify. Now it gets down to the details. If you've listened to War Room in the past, you now have to go to the site. You have to make this part of your life now, because this is going to be an intense part of American history.
President Trump is on a tear on Twitter right now, so I'll plug our Twitter. It's at WarRoom2020, where you can follow the latest breaking news by the second. 20,000 people are already following us. Make sure you're not missing out on the developments.
Okay, it's episode 80, War Room Impeachment. Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon will return in just a moment.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back. Episode 80, War Room Impeachment, live from Capitol Hill. Stunning day, the day after It's I-Day plus one, impeachment, only the third time in American history. The 45th president of the United States has been impeached. We told you that 8 weeks ago. Nancy Pelosi delivered it last night, as sure as the turning of the earth. And as sure as the turning of the earth, Donald J. Trump is not going down without a fight, right? One, he's a fighter, but he's also the best counterpuncher ever. And he's counterpunching this morning. What is he doing, Raheem?
There's a lot of retweets going on, I'll tell you that much. Retweeting Lindsey Graham 3-4 times this morning. Lots of stuff on the Pfizer abuse stories that are coming out. Molly Hemingway, Ben Domenech, Julie Kelly. You go through this, there's maybe about 50 retweets this morning, specifically related to the Pfizer, the Fisk Court letters, Devin Nunes, the Federalist, Chuck Ross, Daily Caller, Mark Meadows. He's on a tear, and he's really looking into this surveillance on his campaign.
Note to self, he is going to look for exoneration. He's been impeached. He understands that. He's not, and to himself, he's not happy talking to himself. He understands what this means. He understands because he understands and believes he's a historic figure. He's a transformative president. He's a historic figure. Jason, you saw at the very beginning. Raheem, you saw all this movement beginning in Brexit. This has deep, deep historical roots to it. It's a major movement. This is something that is challenging the established order. Donald Trump's not going to go down without a fight. He's going to want exoneration in the Senate and then vindication at the ballot box. 2020 started, and it's not because we started the Democratic debates in June, right, or July, whenever it was, that the presidential candidates for the Democrats are virtually irrelevant right now in this drama, right? Michael Bloomberg and his money may be relevant. Hillary Clinton, you know, the specter of Clinton off to the side may be relevant. But the rest of the posse, not so relevant, right? This is Donald Trump, one, against himself, right? But also against this kind of radical cadre, really against Nancy Pelosi right now. That's how this thing's shaping up.
Has Hillary Clinton said anything in the last 24 hours?
Well, she tweeted a lot the day before. On the day of the impeachment, I think she had some stuff.
Two nights before, she had the tweets about impeachment eve rallies.
But right. Nothing since.
I think
she was sleepy.
We can get the exclusive.
Can we bring her in studio? Didn't have the fortitude, the strength, or the stamina, as the one TV ad famously said, which was great, because right when you said stamina, I had her kind of fall down.
Right. Jason Miller had nothing to do with that.
No, but last night you even saw President Trump reference Secretary Clinton.
Oh, they went to lock her up.
They did.
And they love that chant.
And he did a whole little kind of riff on wondering if Bill Clinton calls Hillary crooked when the two of them are alone. Crooked. So he was doing his thing. It's pretty funny last night. And he also, you know, prayed for Hillary to get in the race. Just quick note on that point, there is new Democrat polling out. Biden's at the top at 28. You have Sanders and Warren both right around 21-18. And Bloomberg's only at 4.
That new poll is from who? I saw it this morning, but I forgot.
I believe that's a new Wall Street Journal. NBC.
Okay. When you read that poll,
I believe it
go
is.
Back to those numbers real quick, because I'm going to tell you what it tells me when I saw it.
So for Democrats nationally, top choice is Biden at 28%. Bernie Sanders is at 21%.
Yep.
Elizabeth Warren is at 18%.
Yep.
No other candidate had double digits.
When you got that many candidates above 15%, this tells me broker convention. Nobody can win outright. This is Michael Bloomberg's money, the atomic weapon of cash that he's going to put in this thing on Super Tuesday. Shows me it's going to be a big deal. Look, they're all in the witness protection program. The only presidential candidate you're talking about is even gets mentioned is Biden, right? And then Biden's polls up here gets reinforced like that, and so it's. I think this thing's wide open, right?
Yeah, although if Biden loses Iowa, and he's unlikely to win, good chance he doesn't win New Hampshire.
You don't think he held out to South Carolina?
Momentum moves quick.
You saw that on Rudy's one that you guys held out for Florida. It just didn't work out, right? By the time the media just piles in on it.
Yeah, the Florida strategy was ultimately not successful.
Jason Miller had nothing to do with that, by the way. Or at least the way he tells. Okay, real quickly, exoneration. You saw today on this, and he's going to do it all day, right? He's going to do it all day. He's looking not to be acquitted by something. He's going to want to be found innocent, that the fact that what he did was correct. He said that I did nothing wrong. It was a perfect call. This is what I was paid to do. That's not going to happen in a quick and dirty. He's not going to sit there with Adam Schiff reading the curated thing of Raheem's 7,000 pages of testimony that he got off of warroom.org, just through the worst elements, right?
Which, by the way, Raheem has a great story up on warroom.org chronicling how we got to this point. I would ask everyone take a look at warroom.org. But look, Steve, we saw this from President Trump's letter, the letter they sent over to Speaker Pelosi.
That lays out his case.
He is not going to go quietly here.
No, he's not going to go quietly. He's a fighter. He understands this is a fight. Also, he understands this is not like the end of anything. This is just part of the process. This is the nullification process. We're at another milestone, but this war has now been engaged. Go to warroom.org. You're listening to War Room Impeachment. It's episode 80 already. We're going to be here every day until after the acquittal, or after the exoneration, I should say now, of President Donald J. Trump. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return with much more in just a second.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
I-Day plus one. It is the day after the impeachment of the 45th President of the United States, only the third time in the history of the Republic. Episode 80. Yes, you may hear in the background right there Mitch McConnell's sonorous voice as a little bit playing. We're here with Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. Jason, Raheem, we've got Leader McConnell is up there, and it's a little bit of a throwdown. This thing's going to get nasty, and it's going to get nasty quick.
Yeah, in the last couple of moments, he's been calling Nancy Pelosi's process slapdash.
That plays well with her. The control freakazoid, and she called slapdash.
And she's, you know, always so prim and proper, especially in the way she
tightly wound.
Exactly, and he's doing that. We can go live to it on the Senate floor.
But right, let's now go back. Do you have you want to go live? Can we play the tape where you just threw down the slapdash?
We have to go live.
Let's go live. Let's go hear what he's got to say.
They impeach a president whom they do not even allege has committed an actual crime known to our laws. They've impeached simply because they disagree with a presidential act and question the motive behind it. So let's look at history. Andrew Johnson impeachment involved around a clear violation of a criminal statute, albeit an unconstitutional statute. Nixon had obstruction of justice, a felony under our laws. Clinton had perjury, also a felony. Now, the Constitution does not say the House can impeach only those presidents who violate a law, but history matters. History matters, and precedent matters. And there were important reasons why every previous House of Representatives in American history restrained itself from crossing this Rubicon. The framers of our Constitution very specifically discussed this issue, whether the House should be able to impeach presidents just for, quote, maladministration. Just for maladministration. In other words, because the House simply thought...
So he's not... Jason, you take that he's teeing it up, that he's dumping all over this whole process. He thinks he's not even saying what President Trump, this is not impeachment light to him. This was really just some kind of slam together deal. And you're not going to put it on his plate to have to sort this thing out, right? It sounds like he'd almost like, unlike Senator Braun, he'd almost like to just vote to dismiss.
What Senator McConnell is saying to Nancy Pelosi right now is that we are the grown-ups. The American public has seen this complete impeachment sham that has gone on. We're not going to put up with it when it gets like this, when it gets to the Senate. And I think it's a smart positioning by Senator McConnell.
Raheem, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the line from Mitch McConnell today. The pre-brief line was, this is why we have the Senate, is to curb the over-enthusiasm of the House. And he's obviously up there saying...
But
it right
he
now,
went,
so.
He took it a step further. He says it's not the way the founders understood this. The founders understand that's why every 2 years you're almost permanently campaigning. They wanted that. They wanted that to be the people's House and close to the people. He said something even that took it up 10 notches. It's slapdash. It's thrown together. This is not what the founders had. He's thrown down and challenging her. You know, she comes across as, I'm totally in control. I'm a master political strategist. It's me versus Trump, Mitch off to the side. He's now reasserted himself to Jason's point, we're the adults here. So that's not how the framers set it up, which is supposed to be like this. However, what you ran here is a disgrace, and I'm not going to sit here and validate that.
Most rushed, least thorough, and most unfair impeachment inquiry in modern history. Its slapdash work product will be dumped on us over here in the Senate.
Dumped on us over here at the Senate. That he chose those words carefully, did he not, Jason Miller, communication strategist extraordinaire?
Yes, because the implication by saying dumped on us, basically saying it's a steaming heap of garbage. And that is, I mean, look, the poll numbers are reflecting that as well, that this has not been popular for the Democrats. By the Senate traditionally is much slower moving body than the House.
Very slow.
And I think what you're going to see them is even go slower than they typically do, and just very methodical, very detailed, just the facts. We're going to get rid of
the framers set it up like that. They did not want the Senate to move quickly. I mean, originally the concept was the Senate was going to represent essentially land, right? The states, right? And be elected by the assemblies of the states, the way it was originally conceived. And the House was going to be like the House of Commons.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and where you're going to see this shake out, Steve, particularly as we move into January, and I remember this being a younger political operative watching the Clinton impeachment, the media coverage is going to slow down. Is going to be much more slower and methodical. Now, we still know they're going to attack.
You think in the modern era, don't you think it's going to be even intensify and actually change? I mean, this is President Trump's, this is why he's a McLuhan-esque figure. He knows that modern communications has changed now in those 21 years. He's the driver of it. He's disintermediated the New York Times and CBS and NBC. He will be the driver. That's why he's out today with his 30 tweets.
Yeah, and just to go back to Mitch McConnell as well. I'm just watching this live. It's not the first time he's made that point. I think this is where he's ending up on this, and I think this is where Trump is going to end up on messaging as well. The slapdashing is going to be very powerful, I think.
But the slapdashing, do you actually believe that the process will actually slow and not intensify in the Senate trial? Because now we've had all the procedurals that people understand. They understand it's a trial. People can get their heads around this now. You don't think the media coverage and every witness and every fact, and we go back and really do the case all over again?
Well, it's going to be what I mean. Two things can be true at the same time. The intensity and the focus on it is going to increase. But as far as the ability by Schumer, now we don't have Pelosi, but Schumer is not going to have the same ability in the Senate to go and have the constant drip, 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 death by a thousand cuts.
The leaks, the weaponizing of the tweets, all of that.
Yes, they will not have the ability to do that at the same level or anywhere near the same complete control of the American press corps like they did in the House.
Is that why she doesn't want to send it over?
Well, because as soon as it goes over, I mean, look, then
it's out of her control.
But she's also not the star.
That's absolutely
correct.
She's
irrelevant, which, by the way, we will never again see Jerry Nadler hold a nationally televised hearing. He's done. So have a great holiday break.
Man. One of the benefits out of this. Okay, let's do some housekeeping here. How do people find out more? Because now's the time you've really you have to get engaged here over the holiday season. We're going to be up 7 days a week. But more importantly, the website's up 24 hours a day, and we're popping stories all the time. Everything. We got all the stuff on the left and the right. You get to see everything, Raheem.
That's right. All the clips, all the things you need to see are at warroom.org. And across the top, you can find every single link: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, the Twitter link, the Facebook link, the YouTube link. Everything you need to know, every platform you want is at warroom.org.
And it's all free. Okay, Impeachment Day Plus One, Episode 80. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll return with the team in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room, Impeachment.
On the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam, and now Pelosi. What
Let
do we have?
Let me just put it another way. We have legislation approved by the Rules Committee that will enable us to decide how we will send over the articles of impeachment. We cannot name managers until we see what the process is on the Senate side. And I would hope that that will be soon, as we did with our legislation, our Resolution 660, to describe what the process would be. So far, we haven't seen anything that looks fair to us.
Man, she stepped on. She almost stepped
onto the article.
She almost stepped on her own, because this was almost as big a story as the impeachment itself last night. Since the impeachment was foregone conclusion, this was the stunning reveal at the end, the twist in the plot that nobody had figured.
No, it was huge. And as I said earlier in the show, you've even seen media folks like Chuck Todd go and throw the challenge flag here. And I think that this is really working against Speaker Pelosi this morning. Now, we're seeing Senator McConnell speak right now, and he's really taking it to the Dems. I mean, just going to make it real tough for him. If I were advising Pelosi, what I think she'll come out with is saying that it's not going to be fair, the president's colluding with his Senate allies to rig the trial, and some maybe try to turn it around on Republicans and say now they're trying to nullify the House's impeachment.
Since our nullification project has gone so well, and even McConnell's picked it up, right?
And by the way, nationally, that message that Democrats are trying to nullify the voices and the votes of the American people, it is sticking big time.
By the way, is she obstructing Congress and abusing her power?
God, say that, it'll get tweeted out. How do you think? What do you think she actually said? Let's go through real quickly before we end the show. It's at 10:30, she's going to come on. He just threw down and went to the core of her. Sloppy, slapdash. This is not well thought through, and he's putting the blame on her.
And she's going to try to turn around and make it a process argument, I think, with the Senate, and also make the case that, again, that they're trying to undercut the will of the people. She's realized she's lost that messaging, and that President Trump and the Republicans right now have that message of being the voice of the people. The nullification project message is cutting through. She's going to try to turn around and say, no, she wants to give her allies in the media a reason to rally behind her. That at 10:30, this is Nancy Pelosi's preaching to her choir, meaning the mainstream media.
Does she like the spotlight?
She loves the spotlight. I think she's going to be terribly bummed out when she's removed from it, which, by the way, how about we pass USMCA today? Let's focus on that, Speaker.
Exoneration in the Senate, vindication at the ballot box. We'll be back at 5 o'clock today. It's going to be another huge day with USMCA, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker McConnell, the President of the United States. The impeachment now starts to ratchet up as we go to trial. I'll be on Trish Regan, supposedly, theoretically, for the entire hour. She's coming down to D.C. We're going to be in studio over at Fox at night to talk about everything. Raheem, at warroom.org.
Yep, warroom.org, where after this show, everything keeps going. So you want to get over there, make sure you're refreshing all throughout the day. We have stories going up by the minute at warroom.org. And make sure after the show, you go onto iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud. If you're subscribed, you're helping us rise up the rankings. That helps other people find the best impeachment show around. That's not according to me. That's according to Fast Company magazine.
It's exoneration at trial and vindication at the ballot box. Game on now. It's impeachment day plus one. This is War of Impeachment, episode 80.